We're going to start a little math. Yeah, since Carl always talks about logical person, so we'll give a math problem to everyone. Yeah, so if you don't like the math, talk to Carl. All right, I want you to think, don't look, don't cheat. I want you to think of one number between 1 and 10. Any number, don't say it, just write it down on a piece of paper, please. Any number between 1 through 10. All right? Are you doing that, Liz?
Yes.
Okay. And then with that number times 9. Levity, shut up and do it. Okay. And then probably have a double digit by now. So add those two numbers together, whatever the number and whatever the front and back number. After that, subtract 5.
I just add the two multipliers.
He's a great math, okay?
Subtract 5 and the number.
Everybody come up with the same number.
Now that you have a new number, do you have to say that kind of thing?
Now what he's going to do is subtract 5.
Yeah. And then the number, let's say the A is 1, B 2, C is 3. And if you look at that particular number, what think about that number and what kinds of country name can you come up with that particular number? Okay? And after that, the following number, the one more than that particular number, can you think of animal name with that? Animal name.
What about the country name?
That, and this is a different one. Add 1 on top of that, the last number. Okay. Probably the country name would be Denmark.
Yeah.
And the animal name would be elephant.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a calculated thing. It's a rigged. Whenever you add times 9, for whatever reason, any number become, when you add those two numbers, become 9. So minus 5 is naturally comes out to 4. And most people don't think about Dominican Republic like he does. Only odd people. Yeah, only odd people would that kind of, mostly Denmark and an elephant. Now, listen to me, please. That was a calculated guess. It's easy for me to find out what you're thinking. How do we know what God wants in our lives? Do we know God's will? That's what we're going to study. Before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, many people wonder about your will. In most cases, we want to know your will, but is that what you want us to have, or is that what we want to have? And if we don't get your will, we tend to seek and beg for more. Your will is clear for our lives in the Word. So let us study your Word and teach us. And let us do what you want us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I say that I will teach about what God's will for you, if I broadcast, the church will be packed. I guarantee you that. And another thing that I want to pack the church and two more is healing. People want to get healed. The last one will be prophecy, especially with the end time prophecy and who's going to be Antichrist. People want to know. I say, why do you want to know the scum's identity? We don't need to know. Besides, who cares what he's going to look like? We are not going to be here. So people want to know the God's will But when, as I we talked about, when we find out God's will is that particular thing, and then we don't like it, and we start to come up with, well, maybe that's not what God wants, so let's find something else. So we started at chapter 4 of verse 13 of James. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. A woman was traveling on the side of the road, countryside. She was selling little knickknacks and buttons, needles. Obviously, it was many years ago. And whenever she comes to the intersection, she has this decorated branch she cut out. And one end is the decorated branch, and she tosses it into the middle of the intersection. And wherever that decorated end drops, she goes to that direction. And one day she was doing that, and a guy was passing by, looked at her, and she continues to pick up the stick and throw it in the air and let it drop. And she looked at it again, she throws it again. So he couldn't figure out what she's doing. So he asked her, ma'am, what are you doing? He said, well, I travel according to this stick directs. If this decorated stick drops wherever that direction I travel, but this right side road is smooth and easy looking, but it keeps dropping to the left side. So she continues to throw that thing into it until it hit the right side and she traveled. You know what? Let's face it, we do that kind of thing. God, I don't like the way you tell me what to do. So let's try again. Let's try again. I'm praying you until I get what I want. Is that what God wants? Or when God speaks to us through the word, in context, he makes it pretty clear to us. Then why we insist our will? Our will is, listen to me please, our will is, without God's will, is based on our pride. Our will is based on our pride if we don't add God's will. Another foolish thing we do is we want God to bless whatever we do. Mother and child is baking a chocolate chip cookie, my favorite thing, of course. No nuts. Anyway, they are baking cookies, and it become bad. And the mother said, Johnny, we better pray that God help us this cookie to come out good. And little Johnny said, shouldn't we have prayed before we bake the cookie? Little babe has the wisdom. We should ask God's will and we should follow instead of God asking God to bless our will. One Sunday morning, as I said, this our will without God's intervention is coming based on the pride. So this is a story. One Sunday morning, Pastor talked about the pride that a lot of people in the congregation displaying. So he pretty much nailed just about everybody. After the service, this lady came to the pastor and she said, Pastor, I must confess I have a sin problem with a sin of pride. And I admire my beauty so much this morning that for an hour I sat in front of a mirror just looking at myself. And the pastor said, well, madam, you don't have a problem with the pride. You have a problem with the imagination. See, he finally got it. We have an attitude, not only the pride, we come up with our own imagination. And thinking that God should supply what we want, how we want, when we want. And that's not so. It shouldn't be that way. We are made for his pleasure. Okay, stick your finger right there, and let's go to the Galatians 5, 16 and 17. As long as we have this container called flesh, 5, 16 and 17, this is one of those verses we should memorize. Because it pretty much speaks about Pam Youngberg, John Gecki, Spoon, myself, just about every, not just about it, all of us in this place. All right? Galatians 5:16. I say, then, Apostle Paul saying, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, if I'm understanding correctly, Spirit of God and our fleshly desires cannot be coexisting. Correct? They are mutually exclusive. One or out. One comes in, the other one gets out. The other one comes in, the one gets out. So there, in my opinion, there are the two kinds of will from God to us. I know you guys think, oh yeah, perfect will and permissive will. Uh-uh, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about specific will and general will. So, you guys thinking, is that a new doctrine? No, it's not a new doctrine. It's just, I categorize it that way. General will for us from God is what? He wants us to read the word, his voice. He wants us to hear his voice, read the word, pray daily. I'm not talking about read the word once in a blue moon. Remember Sunday morning I talked about if you only read the word once a week with me, you're eating not enough food, spiritual food, and you're starving yourself to death, we cannot do that. So reading the word of God daily devotion, and pray to God daily or more often. Now, is that the only thing we have to do? Is that the only general will of God? No. Love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul, and love our neighbors as what? Ourselves. So it's all general will. That means everyone should do it. And there will be particular will. Okay, let's go to another verse. Again, back to stick your finger in the James and then go to the Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians. In case you don't know where the collection is, right after Philippians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, to ask you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Remember in James, just remember what it said. When we come to God, it says, James, the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Remember that? Bondservant. What is the meaning of bondservant? Come on, bondservant. Meaning of bondservant?
Servant for life and by your own choice.
By your own choice. Very good. And as an example, they pierce the right side of the ear against the doorpost, and then they put the ear golden earrings, and that shows that his man is bondservant for the rest of his life. That means I no longer want what I want, but I want what the master wants. Same time, the master has obligation. What kind of obligation does he have? Huh? Correct. Protect him, take care of him, and supply what. That's the relationship what we have with Christ and us. We become bondservant of Jesus Christ. So what he wants become what we want. And he's going to protect us. He's going to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. So while we're doing that, we need his guidance. So we simply ask him for wisdom, and he will supply all our wisdom. And to do that, that's the will of God, is to understand his word. How are we going to know his will unless we do not know the word? I cannot overemphasize reading the Word of God. I'm not talking about going through 5 chapters a day. That's great. If you can do it, by all means, go for it. But I'd rather you to go through 5 verses, understand, and become yours, than go through 5 chapters and have no idea what you just read. Karen and I did one, that kind of thing, reading Bible through a year. We did. We sat on the couch, and it was 8 o'clock at night. We are tired. We start to read. And I start to pass out. Really. I mean, I fall asleep. And I start to read the First King and all the, you know, funny names, all that kings and whatever, Jehoshaphat and all that can pronounce. And then I said, Jehoshaphat, chair and table. And then I stop. Wake up and, what's a chair and table to do with this text? And she doesn't even realize what happened because she was sleeping too. And Karen and I said to each other, this is not going to help us. You just go through the motion, reading the Bible chapters, we are not getting it. So we, of course, we will continue to doing the daily bread. So we said, okay, that's enough, the daily bread. And I do the extra study. So let's do small portion and digest it. It's better to make it into yours. Apply into your life. Then it becomes yours. After you read that portion, I'm just making an example of daily bread. Throughout the day, kind of meditate on it. It's one of those curd, the cow bring it up and chew, just like this. So chew the Word of God as often as you can. And throughout the day, talk to Him, speak to Him. That's a prayer. It doesn't have to be long, drawn out, 4-hour prayer. Nobody has a time for that kind of thing nowadays. What if I become disobedient? And as a child of God, because He loves me, He will take me and put me onto His lap and whack me. If my child play with the fire continuously and I say, Michelle, don't do that, and she look at me, oh yeah, watch this, and then she strike another match, guess what I would do? I put her on my lap and whack her. Because she challenging my authority. When I said same thing, when I challenged God's authority, He had to make it right. He had to make me to understand that He is in charge. I am the one who is supposed to follow. So when we go against His will, He will give us consequences to follow. Is it because God does not love us? No, God loves us. That's what He's doing to us. Prime example is Jonah. Many of you guys know Jonah personally, right? Almost when you read that book, it's like you get to know him so well. This guy has major attitude problem. He was told to go to Nineveh and tell these people who are so cruel and repent. Otherwise, in a few days, the whole country will be demolished by God. Instead of going to Nineveh, which is the eastward, he hop on the ship, go to the westward, to the Spain. By the way, at the time, Spain was the end of the world, literally. So he got on the boat and went away. And of course, God went after him, sent a storm, and scared the snot out of all the sailors. And they started to pray, and they found that Jonah is the main reason why they end up in trouble. So they throw him over the boat. Guess what? Here's a yellow submarine comes up. Shamu comes out, swallow him. And take him to, while he's inside of the whale's stomach, guess where the whale is heading to? Nineveh. So he got the free ride back to Nineveh by God. While he's sitting inside this wet, hot place, he's, for 3 days, you notice in Jonah, for 3 days he doesn't even talk to God. By end of the 3 days, while he's traveling inside of this hot, humid sauna, and he's thinking, okay, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I'll go talk to them. Yeah. Of course, at the edge of the shore in the Nineveh, this Shamu puked him out. So he landed on this shore. Seaweed wrapped around his head and all, you know, his face washed out and the skin was bleached because acid. He looked like a gigantic California roll walking down the street. And he said, repent. Probably we all repent, you know, looking at this guy, no hair, bleached the skin, looked like a honky instead of being a Jew. And see where they're around his head. And there are 250,000 people repent. See, God's will for Jonah was to tell the word of God to the Ninevite. Ninevite was loved by God. But because they were so unruly, so bad people, God gave them one more chance. And Jonah said, God, you are God who relent your anger, literally postpone your anger. So far, that's what God has been doing to America. Just like God postponed his anger against Israel time after time after time to the point where he said, enough is enough. And he allowed Babylon to come in, demolish the entire nation. If America does not repent, does not turn to God, it will happen. Just side story, no extra charge for this. If terrorists come into the New York City, Washington, D.C., Dallas, Chicago, L.A., and detonate nuclear bomb same time, do you think America can stand? You can bet on it, it will collapse. Morally, emotionally, everything will collapse. Nowadays, superpower doesn't mean a superpower because of nuclear bomb. It can happen very easily. By the way, just extra touch there. Soviet Union had a lot of nuclear bombs, correct? They cannot find about 16 of them. Wonder where they are. Somebody's making money selling those things on the black market. Okay, that's no big deal. You'll sleep well tonight. Second kind of will is a perfect will that made tailored for each one of us. That's what we want to know. Should I go to this city or should I do this? Should I not do this? My mother used to tell me, you have a gray putty between 2 ears. That's what I call brain. Use it. You know, we have a common knowledge. I know ladies think that guys don't have that. Well, time to time we get to have a tiny portion of common knowledge. We can use that common sense, we can get the things done normal way, right way, according to God's will. However, we tend to adjust that common sense the way we want. It is God's will for us to have a good business sense. It is God's will for us to provide what the family needs. This guy, let's go back to James chapter 4, verse 13. This guy is talking about, come now, you who said that today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend the day and spend the year there and buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears a little while, little time, and vanishes away. Nothing wrong with the business transaction. God does not have a problem at all with that. And what if this person have to work with the secular people? Well, join the club. We have to work with the secular people. As a matter of fact, that's how we spread the word of God. But this guy, if you notice, there's nothing about God. It's about him and his business associate, not including God. As a Christian, we should include God in everything we do. That's God's will. Some people go to the extreme and ask God, God, it's great, I'm awake in the morning. What kinds of breakfast should I have? Who cares? What do you have in the cupboard? Eat that thing. But some people cannot make up their mind. They have to ask for God's will. I think that goes a little too much. But however, if we somebody is a single person, like a Jenny, is going to get married, and she better marry to somebody who is a devout Christian and loves God more than he loves her. And she would do the same thing. I heard this from Max Lucado, who extremely good thing. If the person that spouse to be or the one whom that person is dating, whenever they got together, if that person doesn't feel closer to God, that person may not be the right choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? If that person you are dating doesn't bring God closer to you within the relationship, that person may not be the right choice. As a Christian, of course, equally yoked is so important. And whom we getting, the single person should get married is God designated. If they attract to each other, fine, get married. However, I think that rules, if that person does not draw you to God, better to reconsider. That's a good rule of thumb. What about moving to a different city? What about getting a different job? Is that what God wants? You know what? What about this? Getting another car. Again, I would draw back to the common sense. Can you do it financially? Sometimes we come up with an excuse because we want another car, new car, so bad that we come, you know, this car really doesn't run well. Larry Burkett, how many guys know Larry Burkett? He's a financial planner, he's extremely, almost to the point, he's such a penny pincher, he can pinch a penny and make the Lincoln's eye crossed. This guy is so logical, so good. He said, you can spend $300 or $400 to that car, but you still have a car that paid off while you want another debt. Makes sense to me. So if you can handle finance, yeah, having a new car is nothing wrong with it. But do you really need it? Is it need or is it want? It's a common sense. Moving to the different city, is that what God leading you? Do you have a peace in your heart? Let's talk about that peace. Let's say we are facing some major decision, like we're going to find another place to have a worship. Of course, the leadership will pray together and with your congregation. And there's an offer, let's say there's an offer. Somehow, there's a check in the spirit. That's not true. We can wait. If we are wrong and try to honor God, if we are wrong, God will redirect us. God will honor that decision. But if we just jump on it at the first thing and thinking that, yeah, God will follow us and help us, that's a faith. There's a difference between step of faith and being stupid. You hear me? There's a difference between step of faith and being stupid. If we have a check in the spirit, stop. Right then, it can wait. I had occasion that somebody asked me to marry them, and I was going to help them, but I was said, I got to get married this weekend. And in my heart, this is not right. Even though they were married before, and they had just been living together. So they were husband and wife before, so no big deal. They're both Christian. Nothing wrong with it. That's my logic for a while, but why is it such a hurry? I asked him, can you wait for a couple of weeks just to go through a few things? Said, no, it has to be this weekend. All right, then I can't do it for you. If you wait a couple of weeks, maybe you can find somebody to do it. I'm learning to wait upon God. It's a good thing to wait upon God. There's a check in the spirit. Stop. It's okay to stop. If God says no, continue to go. He will let you know. Bottom line is not what kind of job we have. Bottom line is not what kind of house we have. Bottom line is not what kind of car we drive. You know what the bottom line is? What do we do in that car? What do we do in that house? What do we do in the job? How do we act, react, proact in the job, on the house, in the car to other people? Do we glorify God? If we don't, we're in the wrong place. It doesn't matter what kind of job we have. We read this, if it's God's will, is it God's will for us to come to church? So we don't have to say, if God will, I'll be here. Yeah, it's God's will for us to be here, to study the Word. Is it God's will for us to get into the God, day in, day out? You can bet on it. We don't have to say it. Other things, if God willing, buy that house. If God doesn't want us, we're not going to want it. That's a good attitude. All right, go to the next verse. 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Excuse me. Boasting and bragging comes from the pride. Again, back to the pride issue. God hates pride, by the way, according to Proverbs. Hariyah, that's the biggest one, pride. There's a tremendous difference between confidence in capability we receive from God and the boasting that what we can do. Let's go to Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11:3. If I must boast, I will boast in the thing which concern my infirmity. And let's go down to 12:5-6. Chapter 12:5-6. Of certain of one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in infirmity. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I restrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he see me to be or hear from me. One more verse, verse 9. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmity, power of Christ may rest on me. If we must, let's boast what God is doing in our lives, in ourselves. Back to verse 17 in James chapter 4. Therefore, to him who knows to do good, this is the punchline. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, it is what? Sin. I guess this guy doesn't hold punch back. It is clear that if we know something to do in God's will, if we don't do, that's sin. You know what fancy word for that is? Sin is not just thing to do, that wrong thing we do. Sin is that something we don't do what we are supposed to do. That what we call the theologian called the sin of omission. We are supposed to do what we are not doing. That's very important. All right, let's make an application. It is God's will for us to live for Him, not for our own glory. It is God's will for us to live for Him, not for our own. And second application, some of you guys know this. Let's remember these two. Okay. What's the middle letter in those words? I, my, me, myself. Sin and prayer. All right. I'm done. Questions? So do we know what God wants us to do?